quite often we'll find that it will be actually a part of his plan. But when we don't know, don't go until you know. I think that's a safe place to be. If you don't know the bridges out down in Westminster, don't go flying down there 100 miles an hour and thinking you can bridge the gap over the open hole. That's not too cool. You might if you had a Maserati or something, but I'm not sure I'd try it in my little Subaru out there. It'd probably crash and burn. It's not a negative confession, it's being true. But God will make a way. And I would say that probably every one of us in this room have noticed that God will make a way. Because sometimes that's the only way that can be made, is the way that he makes. We can conjure up all kinds of thoughts and ideas of what we'd like to see. But he did say that if we delight ourselves in him, he would give us the desires of our heart, didn't he? But you see, the clincher is, are we delighting ourselves in him? Because a lot of these promises are conditional. If we do part A, he'll do part B. He'll do part G too, that's the God part. He'll make a way. Well, let's come back to our scriptures on hospitality. The next one I'd like to look at comes from Apostle Paul again from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. And Paul knew a lot about, once he left his Pharisee priesthood work in the temple, became a believer, he had such a background of understanding who God is. But he had revelation in a lot of things that he spent, I think I read, 14 years alone receiving from the Lord. He got away and spent that time not just wandering through the wilderness, but with a purpose. Sometimes it's good for you and I just to get away for a while and not so much spend that time with others, although it's hard not to. Some of us, our families are pretty divided and scattered around the country. But he, in his writing, took the time to find out what's this new life about when the Lord knocked me off my horse and I was blinded by the exceedingly bright light of his presence. That started a whole new life for him. Same with us. And we had read in previous scriptures that he wrote about hospitality, and that there were times in his life and in his ministry when he also found himself in need of provision, and he would build tents. That was part of his trade. He still was able to work with his hands in times when that was the way that God chose to provide for him. He couldn't just lay back and say, well, I'm just believing God. And he had these gifts. And he used them. And this next scripture he's going to be speaking from that perspective about our lives. Do we just kick back, do nothing, wait for God to pour gold out of the throne room? Or does he expect us to use what he's given us? And I would say to you that he probably would do both. The only problem is there'd be potholes if he poured gold out of heaven, because that's what the streets are made of. So why would he tear up a perfectly good street to sprinkle gold in your yard? Not that he wouldn't. But. And who's going to drive in the potholes? I don't know. Maybe there's chariots. I don't know how we're going to go through the streets. My mind is really huge when I start imagining what that's going to be like. And he says this, King James Version, no, Amplified, I'm sorry. For it is not intended that others be relieved of their responsibility and that you be burdened unfairly, but that there be equality in sharing that burden. At this present time, your surplus or over necessities, in other words, those who have more than they need, are better equipped to give to those who at that period of time in their life don't have anything. And he said that, in giving to supply their needs so that at another time their surplus may be given to supply your need, that there may be equality. And I've really thought about that. It comes back to giving again, but with hospitality, you can't find an opportunity where giving of some sort is not included in that. And it's not always in money. And sometimes I think we think about those terms, but sharing your skill, sharing your talent, sharing your ability, doing something for somebody else that they can't find in and of themselves to be able to do something. And then when your time of need comes, they will sow into your need so that there's an equality. But the problem is, and this is talked about government earlier, the problem with a lot of government programs is there are over 600 federal programs and countless state programs to help those in need. But the problem is there's no incentive to work. There's no incentive to do anything for anybody else but sit back and let the gravy train roll in. But the problem is they all, government can never create anything. I always remember that. They take it from somebody else to give to somebody else. You no longer have a say in that matter. You have no control over where it goes because you've given it to them. Well, actually, you don't. If you don't, the big stick comes in. But it's amazing how when you compare man ruling, exercising authority over his fellow man as compared to Christ ruling over Christianity, and how it's just the right thing to do when we see a need and God has equipped us to do something about the need. Because there may come a time when we may find ourselves in need and someone will sow back to our needs. And I told you last week about going out in my truck when I had my truck and put my foot in my boot and it was all crunchy because somebody had stuffed some money in my boot. Or people just walk up to you and say, the Lord told me to give you this. And it's just the right amount that you need to meet that need because somebody was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Helping people with rides to doctor's appointments. And there's just so many practical ways that this works. But the point of it is, Christians shouldn't fall into the devil's trap of just saying, wow, what a racket. I don't have to do squat. And everything's coming to me. Oh, God is blessing me so much. And they fall into that trap of, well, that may be for your need now, but what about when God calls you to meet somebody else's need and you don't have anything left because you weren't a good steward? Or you were closed off to the very possibility that God really might be expecting you to step up to the plate and do something. Because he himself did that as an example. And I think it's always good to go to the scriptures for our examples. But I like to use real people too, because we live in a fallen world and we're believers, but we always always, always have to remember that our need is going to come from the Father. He is our provider. And we're not to question the vessels or the ways that He chooses. I've received blessings from unsaved people before. Has that ever happened with you? And it's, wow, how did they hear the Holy Spirit? I had that need, and somebody down the road heard about it and said, I just feel like I should do this for you. We have people in our own neighborhood that mow the lawn for somebody. They're not saved, far as I know. And yet, they've adapted this principle. And if you told them, wow, this is very biblical what you're doing, they might say, well, I don't know about that. It just seems to be the right thing. They don't have a lawnmower and their grass is 2 feet high. My neighbors are complaining. You know, it doesn't fit the city code. You're supposed to keep your grass cut and all blah, blah, blah. All the regulations come in. But it works with an equality. And now, coming down to Matthew chapter 25, Jesus again. And Marlene, remember a Bible study a couple of weeks ago when I said, be geared up, we're going to start talking about hospitality. And you made the comment that, oh, the first letters of that word spell hospital. Remember you said that. Well, let's see what Jesus said about that and see how that word fit right in. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 36. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Remember the day you got saved? You were a stranger, and suddenly a companion moved in for the rest of your life. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Where do we usually visit the sick? There's your word, Marlene. You visited me with help and ministering care. I was in prison, and you came to me, ignoring personal danger. Our beloveds in the prison ministry aren't here with us this morning, but I think of the body of Christ at large. I think about here, but I also think about they were doing that for a lot of years before they came here, because they're not afraid of any violence in the prison. I told you about some violence that I saw when I eagerly put up my hand 2 weeks in the Lord and said, yeah, I'll go. And the things that were thrown at us through the bars, the screams. The liquid that came through the bars. People that are Christians that are in prison. The violence that happens against them. But you know what? They don't have a fear of those things. And our beloveds don't fear either. They go. But here's the thing. Jesus said, whenever we do any of those things that he wrote about, those things that he listed, he said, we're doing them is unto him. That's really important. Sometimes I've forgotten that briefly. I forget that each time I take the broom before you all get here. This is because if you come in on Friday morning for the ladies' meeting, you might find yourself walking through spider webs on the front doors. This is a country building and it's in the country. We got spiders. I try to keep them at a minimum so they don't poke out at you. You go, eek, you freak out when you open the cupboard or something, you know? But when I come, and I do that, And then the bird poop on the steps. Sometimes I murmur. I've done that. And I've wanted to shoot those birds. I even got that big ladder out on the side of the stairs and climbed up to see if I could, after the babies are gone, and do away with the nest. But God's got them so nestled in that the cross is hollow out there. There's three sides, the two sides and across the front, and it's hollowed out. That's where their nest is. You can't get in there. So, but I would catch myself and I say, well, if Jesus was coming in here barefoot like he often did wherever he went, I don't think that probably it would be too cool for him to step in that bird poop. I know this is being recorded, and I'm just practical, okay? That's the realm I live in. I have a practical application of our faith. Very simple, but it's true. Because you can relate to that. If you knew that Jesus was going to come up those steps in 10 minutes, and you came before him and you sidestepped that, and you just came in and sat down, and you know there's a broom over there in the corner behind Aaron, would you not do that? You would. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I wouldn't think that. So I can appreciate that everything's working in the bird's life, because I appreciate it when everything's working in mine. But nevertheless, it's an illustration of all these things that he listed. You would think it should be natural for us to think like that. But when you come out of a life like I did, of drugs and rock and roll and all of that stuff, the first person I thought about was me. You all can speak for yourselves, but I really didn't have a whole lot of concern about anybody else. And when I got saved, I'll tell you, my little apple cart got upset big time, upside down. And now the things that were nothing are everything. And little things like that I so think of, because I've learned when I come here. I came here to serve you. I don't expect you to serve me, because I've adapted Jesus' attitude. Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served. I came to serve. And so everything that we do, this should be the motivation, because Jesus out of his own mouth said that. If you do these things for others, you're doing them as unto me. And that's why I made that comment, because he said that 2,000 years ago. But to make it practical, I teach a lot in parables. They're examples that I see in our everyday life. They're opportunities for us to be attentive, to see those things. The spider webs in particular, because I know somebody that if they see a spider, they get really spooky. And so you just learn to do that. Jesus is basically saying, what's your motive? The motive of the heart. Because we can do a lot of good things. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, if it's to get the pat on the back, no, I'd rather. I'm learning rather to remember why we do certain things. And since we come together so often, I mean weekly and during the Bible studies, there's things that I notice in particular that I want to do better in, but I want my attitude to be better about doing it. I think that's what I would say about that, because this is really a good motive. And then look what he says in verse 40 of the same chapter. And the king, capital K, King Jesus on the throne, will answer and say to them, I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, to the extent. So you thought I made that up, but see, I'm reading it now. to the extent that you did it for one of these brethren of mine, brothers and sisters in the Lord, even the least of them. And how do you determine the least? You did it for me. And that generally has stopped my murmuring about things like that. Driving through Springfield, and you see somebody ready to bolt through a stop sign because they do it a lot over there. Why not just slow down a little bit if you know they're going to come ripping through it? Why not just slow down and let them out and go on their way? Why cause a crash when you can avoid it? And it's the same in life. Why cause a crash when you can avoid it? So these are really, I think they're just very wise. I think I have one more. Page 2, page 3, page 4. Aha. Next week, I was going to save these. But I got to it before next week. So I don't know what we'll have for communion next week. I don't. But it's not next week yet. And that's my faith. It ain't time yet. Be not forgetful. Oh, this is King James. Do not neglect to extend hospitality to strangers, especially among the family of believers. Being friendly, cordial, and gracious, sharing the comforts of your home, and doing your part generously. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, generally, strangers don't show up on your doorstep with the intent of just staying there forever. God don't send people to do that, to stay there forever and use up all of your resources. It's generally, you'll find that there's a period of time. It's called wearing out your welcome. You know? But here it is. Strangers are people that you've not yet met. Or maybe a visitor to your town, and you might be in the post office. And somebody might say, is there a particular store in this town that this is what I need? Can you show me where it is? Can you take me there? Simple, practical, everyday life as believers oftentimes has its roots and something supernatural that's already happened in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There's such a willingness on our part to do the right thing. And so, I want to tell you about an angel. And he did something wonderful for us. Faith and I were coming back from Florida, I can't remember if it was when we moved back, a U-Haul trailer. And the car overheated hardly before we got out of Florida. We were on the highway, and the car overheated, and it couldn't go anymore. And we pulled off into what seemed to be a rest area off of Interstate 95. And we had no water to take the cap off the radiator and put water in to cool the engine down, cool the block so that we could go a few more miles. And it really seemed like we were stuck. No cell phones, no place that you could walk to. And we hadn't been there but just a very few minutes. And this unmarked van comes in and you couldn't see the where you parked from the highway. It was just one of those kind of like a blind spot to pull off the road. And this man came over and he said, I have some water if you need something to put in your radiator. And he goes back and he gets a jug of water and he comes over and he left it with us. And I had looked all over the place around there for water and we couldn't find anything, a brook or nothing. And he left his container with us and he vanished. He just gone, drove away. But he told me, if you go down, just down there, you'll find a fence. And there's two fence posts there where the wire has been taken down. And if you'll go to that spot, there's water. That's quite prophetic. I'm thinking of some Philip out in the desert. Wow, we got this guy saved. Now what are we going to do with him? Oh, there's certain water. Now that water didn't just happen in the desert. That water, I had gone down there. I never even found any fence before I went looking. Well, his man said, you go there. And he was very specific. Between those two posts, the fencing is down. And you'll find water. And exactly as he spoke, I went and did as he said. And there was water. And we were able to finish filling up the radiator, drive it to a place where we could get it properly taken care of, and fill that container up and left with it to keep it along the road until we could finally be on our way and take care of that problem. But the fact this man was an angel ministering to us. I searched everywhere for water in that place, and I went everywhere he told me to go, and there was no fence. There was no water. And suddenly, right out of nowhere, they were. There was a fence with two posts, and between those two posts, there was the fence was gone, and there was water just beyond that. Boy, if I'd have been stoned, I would have sat right there, and I'd have got wasted. But see, in the Lord, I didn't think like that anymore. I recognized something supernatural had happened. And I'll tell you these things about angels. In the course of the 36 years that we've been in this building, twice people have seen the four angels on this property. In vivid description, the two people were years in between. They didn't even know each other. Had seen the angels, the two on the front, and the two on the back. And I'll tell you, you wouldn't want to mess with those guys. I have not seen angels like in the spiritual realm like that. I never have. But they described in exact detail the two angels out front stand with swords drawn and up. The two angels in the back have got their arms crossed like this in case you get through the guys with a sword. You're going to mess with us now. In all of these years, I just always know they're there. They've been assigned by God over this property in this building. And that's why I do the blood on the doors. Because this is a place that God has provided for us. There's no explanation as to even how we even were able to have it. Going back to the beginnings. You were here, Simone, way back in the early days. Man, this place was a dump. It was a run-down building. It was trashed. And all these years, how God has enabled us supernaturally many times. And I love to share these miracles with you because you come here. You're God's beloveds, but that makes you our beloveds. We're his beloveds. And how he's provided all the time, but we've got to keep our eyes on him in order to really appreciate how awesome he really is. I mean, that's an ending song. Our God is an awesome God. And I'm going to end with that. God really is awesome. And if you need prayer this morning, come on up, because God is a really awesome God. And he's going to bless and touch and minister to whoever we pray for.